Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Roastcast, the number one Bachelor Recap podcast hosted by male and racial best friend duo, AB.
Yes, sir.
Happy belated Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Thank you.
It's a classic Rimini AB gag.
It hits me every time. I forget about it.
What'd you think of the episode? To be clear, we're not making light of the life and legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. It's just a funny thing that I hit him with.
Rim tells me every year when I talk to him on Martin Luther King, he says, "Happy Martin Luther King Day." It hits hard every time. I'm rolling on the floor laughing every time. That's the joke here. It's a long-standing yearly tradition from Rim to say that to me. And it gets a laugh every time.
Yep. Okay. I hope the audience is laughing. Otherwise, I'm in deep trouble. Go ahead. What you think of the episode?
I thought it was pretty good, Rim. I think it was the worst yet.
I agree.
And it had to be done to get us back on track, what we've been begging for in terms of the course of each episode, the schedule that they use. So
rose ceremonies at the end.
Yeah.
I did too. I thought this was a classic, dumb Bachelor episode. And I mean that as a compliment. It was low stakes. I had fun watching it. We had a good one-on-one date. And some, you know, silly catty conflicts about who's being more real. I enjoyed watching it.
We'll get to that part. I got some issues with the major conflict of this episode. But
can't wait to hear
going.
It was basically a self-contained story. I like how it was the entire, it felt like an episode of The Mandalorian, or no, maybe Black Mirror. It was just the rise and fall of a villain. Whole story, one episode.
That's true.
Like, you can watch that out of context and, like, get everything that's going on with the show. Anyway, opening scene of the episode. Hannah and Kelsey both crying the morning after the group date because they're still at odds about Champagne Gate. Now,
yeah,
this is not the morning after Champagne Gate. This is the morning after the group date, which was the day after Champagne Gate. Okay.
Okay. I'm with you.
You follow me?
Yeah.
It's 2 days.
Okay.
Get over it. It's my opinion. So everyone's on edge. Champagne Gate. Hannah Ann and Kelsey taking over the week. Just want to set the scene. There's rain falling in addition to the tears.
It was a beautiful scene. They showed like rain falling. The birds were chirping. And then you also heard like women sniffling and cries. So
say what you want about the producers, the sound editors on the show have knocked it out of the park.
Great, they're doing good.
Victoria P got a one-on-one date card at some point. I don't recall that at all. Do
I
you?
Don't either. No idea.
Okay,
nope.
I just want to make sure. Pete picks her up in that old Ford truck with the bench front seat that they use every season. Am I making that up? Also,
no, I've seen this truck before.
Yeah, I've seen the truck.
I got an issue with the truck, Rim.
It's not safe. Probably no airbags.
It's very unsafe. Steering. Okay. Yeah. Definitely no airbags. No chance it has airbags. Did we already on the old car industry? I think we already did this.
Yeah, I think so.
Let me
think
add
automotive
some more
industries where we don't like them.
Listen, no airbags. No, not even front airbags. Side airbags, get out of here. Of course not. But not even front airbags. No seatbelt for her. Okay. I don't know if that's just her doing. he had a lap seatbelt, but either way, no cross seatbelt. You know how they got the cross across the chest?
Well, the cross is what saves your
life.
The
chest seatbelt is what saves you from smashing your head into the windshield or just slipping out from the top of the lap seatbelt and flying through the windshield. Okay? Yeah. He had a lap seatbelt on. I went back and watched this like 3 or 4 times to make sure. He had a lap seatbelt. Okay. She had nothing. They were driving. It wasn't, they were not parked. They were driving. There were cars behind them. Okay.
Was she slid over into the middle? Because that's the romantic, you know, no. Beaver Cleaver 50s.
She wasn't even slid over close. That wouldn't matter to me. Safety first. Click at her ticket rim. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
She didn't have any seatbelt on. Not even the lap one, which is hilariously not safe to begin with.
I don't get, you know, I don't know if we talked about this on the show before. I just don't understand people who don't wear seatbelts. Just wear your seatbelt.
It doesn't make any sense. It takes 3 seconds to save your life, folks. Come on.
It's true. It's true. I just like the enthusiasm with which you acted like you're making up a new slogan for the seatbelt. Anyway, they go to a Country General store, which took me, I'd say, by surprise. Now, maybe I'm just ignorant about this portion of California, but I did not expect there to be a lively country western scene with boots, hats, and such. And then, they're just shopping. They smooch in the shop. She's got a new rawhide jacket going on, looking cute. Then they head to a country bar. So this is not a one-off.
No, that's what really confused me is when Peter was like, we're going to go do something me and my friends do. First of all, I didn't know Peter had anything to do with the country scene.
Sting, apparently.
Especially living in California, like you said, I didn't know there'd be a line dancing bar there. I don't even know of any line dancing bars in Iowa. Now, it's not my
cup of tea, that doesn't mean
anything, but you'd think I would have heard of one.
Yeah. I looked up where this place is, 4 miles down the hill from Bachelor Mansion.
Really?
It's closer to Bachelor Mansion than his hometown is.
Okay, I would have guessed they had to go far away to get to this.
More inland.
Yes.
We're going to get killed by the California people. But yeah, I was just surprised. Okay? I was just surprised. They go into a bar.
Every episode, we make enemies with a new group of people, and it's really unfortunate.
I don't like doing it.
It's just something that happens. So far, we're about 3 minutes in, and we got the old car people, old car industry, and California in general. Where we say just false things about them.
Part of me wants to finish recording and then just pretend this episode never happened and not tweet anything out. Just see you next week. They got, they're at a bar, a country bar, line dancing bar, like you said. Reminded me of that scene in Cool Runnings. That's my exposure to line dancing is when they're at the bar.
You didn't have line dancing in elementary school?
No. Tininkling.
What?
No line dancing. Exactly. Let's stay on track.
Okay.
I just want to pause here and say I'm a big fan of, I'm on the record here. Many times I love dates that take place in public with normal people milling about. Okay. At least we can pretend it's a normal interaction when they're like, what are these faces? You don't like what I'm saying here?
Normal people. I mean, these are Bachelor super fans who waited here for hours and hours. This isn't just a normal bar that
people,
they went to.
People,
but sure,
around,
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, you agree.
I'm with you. I like when there's like other people all around them. It feels more real. They're at a bar. I'm with you.
It's a normal atmosphere. It's a reasonable atmosphere to watch a date.
To have
anyway,
a date.
Victoria P. Let's talk about the date if we can.
Okay.
Victoria P. says she is smitten. Can't stop smiling when she's looking at him. And I think it's real. AB, anything else on this date? This portion. It's good.
No, Victoria P. is a sweetheart. They got a little bit of chemistry. I like these two.
Victoria P. might be the contestant I like the most.
Wow.
As a potential romantic partner for Peter. Obviously, Tammy's number one in my let's hang out power rankings.
Sure.
All right, back at the house. What do you say we wrap up the champagne conflict? Kelsey and Hannah Ann. Now, I thought, okay, it's been 2 days. Cooler heads prevail. These two are going to talk. Squash it.
Yeah, squash the beef.
What did you make of their discussion?
It didn't really go anywhere. There was not a mutual understanding that they came to, or either side apologizing. They left the conversation the same way they started the conversation, both very upset and not willing to budge.
The one thing they did agree on was Kelsey said some really mean things to Hannah Ann. They both were like, yep, that was out of line. If he's drinking coffee right now, that was out of line what I said. But what Kelsey kept getting hung up on was the bullying accusation, which apparently outweighed everything that Kelsey said, which is unrepeatable to Hannah Ann.
So where do you sit on this bullying?
I don't know.
This bullying? Does bullying have to be more than one person? I don't think it does. That's what I think she was alluding to, is that it has to be a group of people teaming up on one other person. I don't know if that's the case. It seems like there's a scale for bullying. Like, one person picking on one person and calling them names probably is bullying per se, but it's a little different than everyone, like if the whole house was ganging up on Hannah.
I also think she might have been implying bullying is somehow longer term mistreatment of a singled out individual. Or I don't know what specific characteristics she thinks. I'm not a behavioral elementary psychologist. Okay. What I do know is that it doesn't matter if this was bullying or not. It was like, Kelsey, you're being a jerk. We both agree. And please don't act that way. We live in the same house.
See,
it doesn't matter whether or not she fit the definition perfectly. She's being mean.
I disagree a little bit, because Hannah Ann used the word bully to Peter. And when
she said,
like,
I
you
felt
said,
bullied.
Like you said last week or the week before, if someone says the word bully, someone's being bullied in the house. That's a very serious accusation. It'd be much more serious than if she just told them what happened, which was she called me a few names. When she says bullying, that's something they need to address instantly, the lead. And they know that. Not right or wrong, but that's just the case.
You're right. I think Kelsey, as her defining trait up until now, overreacted to the accusation. Maybe Hannah Ann was playing fast and loose with the B word. I don't know. It just seems strange to me to be watching two people argue about whether or not someone be like, the base of facts was you were being awful to me.
you said some mean things. They both agree, but
should have been the end.
Yeah. Should have been an apology, and that would be it.
Not only did Hannah Ann use the B word, she also used the F word, which was finasco. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, AB. She meant to say fiasco, or she meant to say finasco, which I hope is the case. We got a couple words in here this episode that easy to make fun of, but also, I prefer these new words that we heard last night to the current words.
Finasco's a good word.
Yeah. It was a whole finasco. I will say that for as long as I live. Finasco.
I'm with you.
At one point in the discussion, Hannah Ann was hung up on not being a champagne stealer, as if that's the worst thing you can be in this house. And Kelsey said, it's not about the champagne. I don't even really like champagne. So I don't know where you go from there. If it's
so
not
what
about
are we
champagne.
Doing here? That's what this whole thing is based off of, the champagne steal. I mean, that just goes to show how little this champagne actually meant to Kelsey. She made it out to be like the biggest thing she brought with her that she gets to share with Peter, but you don't even care. The reason you had this thing for a year is because you don't even like champagne.
Oh, there's a good take. Now, many people pointed out that this was a bottle of Dom. Perignon.
Really?
That's how you pronounce it. $190 suggested retail price. And it was replaced with like a $16 something Rimmon AB would have splurged on back in the summer of 11.
During the real
11.
Champagne game.
Yeah, yeah. So whatever that was. Now, and so justifiably, Kelsey would be upset. But here she just basically admits, I don't care about the bottle of champagne at all. And it's hard for me to care about it either if she doesn't. At the end, Kelsey says, you know, you could have talked to me about this anytime in the last 2 days. And then Hannah Ann says, well, you told me to stay the F away from you. And then Kelsey is appalled and says, oh, this is about me now? And it's like, the whole thing is about you. Kelsey, all this is about you.
Kelsey comes off so bad. I don't know if Hannah's... I don't know what's going on with Hannah. She probably went too far by even bringing this up to Peter. She should have addressed it right away. But the way Kelsey came off during this whole thing, it's hard to side with her.
You know what? I'm going to make a declaration here, and I don't do this often. I am out on Kelsey. Full stop. Out. There's no salvaging...
Iowa native.
There's no salvaging her as a contestant for me. Probably a great person. Obviously, everyone from Iowa is fabulous. This is a couple episodes in a row now that's hard to defend. Some would say impossible. We'll see.
I'm still...
Victoria P, one-on-one date, nighttime. It's at an airport hangar.
Yeah.
Kelsey expands on her backstory. We know her dad, Victoria. Oh, big typo in my notes.
Victoria.
Victoria P expands on her backstory. We know from her first episode, her dad passed away when she was young. As a result of that, her mom fell into addiction. She was in and out of shelters growing up. A lot of people don't make it out of that cycle in one piece. She said it's affected her relationships because she doesn't always feel deserving of someone like Peter.
Interesting.
What did you make of Peter's response here, AB? She's crying at this point. Emotional moment.
I don't know that Peter showed the emotion I needed from him with this story. I'm over here tearing up about her talking, going into foster care and stuff like this. The life that she's lived. He's just kind of got a fake. I'd call it a fake. Sympathetic face on.
Wow.
And then they quickly, he quickly changes the subject.
You know, you never know. Benefit of the doubt, editing and such.
It's fake sympathy.
I did not get the impression. My issue with these conversations on this show is they don't play out like they would in real life. And by that, I mean, no matter male and female leads, though the sympathetic stories seem to come from female contestants more often than not, there aren't usually follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Or like similar stories shared or any empathy other than thanks for telling me that. That just means you're great. Here's a rose. And Peter said, it shows me what kind of person you are. And I'm like, I don't know. Be a little more specific. I mean, it just didn't seem like a conversation. It was the classic say something sad. And then the lead just goes, thanks.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. The story she told, there's hundreds of follow-up questions I need answered that I'm very interested.
Well, not like need answer, but like, just want to know more.
I don't deserve those answers, but I'd want answers just curiosity-wise. I just
trying to get to know this person.
I'd be asking tons of questions, like, how was foster care? This is all the stuff she talked about, stuff I have never experienced anything like that. And obviously, Peter hasn't either. He lived next to the Bachelor Mansion. Why don't you ask some follow-up questions on some of the stuff she said? And you're right. He didn't give any of that.
Just, again, maybe they're cutting it short to move on to the next silly conflict.
They couldn't eat sometimes. Like, and you don't have a question about that? Like, that shit sounds terrible.
It was weird. It was a weird... follow-up. Peter was basically, you said he changed the subject. He basically, his like response story was, I'm excited to be the Bachelor. You're one of the people who might become my wife. And then I saw a shooting star. It was kind of like, he was basically like, you're definitely my top 20 right now. In response to that story, it's very strange. I don't know. Keep the focus on the person in front of you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gives her the rose. He says, I've never been inspired by someone so much in my entire life. I believe that. She really, really likes him. Part of me wonders if Victoria P is just so excited to kind of have something going well for her. Like, this is about her experience. She's not taking care of somebody else or helping someone else along. The opportunity in front of her that she's over the moon already. Part of me wonders if that's the case. Because she even says, I'm falling in love with Peter.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to, coming from the background she has, growing up with basically nothing to being on The Bachelor, it seems like that would, she would be more grateful of that and more appreciative of what she's, what's happening here, and more, she'll fall a little quicker for Peter, even if the connection isn't quite there, because it's such a difference than what she's used to.
Well said. It should be noted that in the old days, when someone said falling in love with, when someone said they're falling in love with someone after one date, I would roast them. Robbie and JoJo.
Sure.
She didn't say it to him. It was falling to the camera. But the standards are eroding, in my opinion. Used to mean something on this show.
I took it as a genuine I'm falling for him. I don't know what to tell you. She's falling fast. What do you want, Rim? Sometimes love comes fast. Hit you hard.
All right. Back at the house, Alea, boom, first try, drinking wine.
True.
We had to cut one out. We had to cut
different
one out.
Takes.
Alea is drinking wine, sitting on the countertops, wearing a pilot hat, and no pants, I believe. A lot of skin on the island. A lot of bare skin on the island. I don't know if you noticed that. That's an eating surface. I would have objected to that had I been in the room.
Keep your bare ass off the counter, please.
If it's not too much trouble.
Where we prep our food, please. Thank you.
Elias says, I'm very good at putting on a face when I need to. Keep that in mind.
Take
note. Here comes a date card. Kiara, Sarah, Tammy, Kelly, Shean, Savannah. I changed the way I said the names when I got to Savannah. What does that mean? Stay tuned till the end. Sydney and Alea. I love surprises, Peter says on the card, and I hope you do too. This could be anything. It's literally a surprise.
This is the point in the episode, Rim, where you can tell the producers are making a strong push to have Alea be some sort of villain, which we don't know anything about yet. We know nothing about Alea. But you can tell something's about to change here in the house.
I think you had her in your final four. You definitely had her, you know, pointed her out as someone who could be the winner on their first episode interactions. Very cute, very sweet with the grandma. Now I'm starting to wonder, you know, like you said, did the grandma write that letter? Does her grandma exist? You know, things are in question now.
Absolutely.
And the first really bad comment was when Alea asked Jasmine, whose name she probably didn't know and who was sitting next to her. She goes, wait. So how do you feel not going on the date? Totally rude.
Like, obviously I'm distraught about it. I don't get a date this week. Why would you even bring that up?
What's to discuss, Alea? I'm not thrilled. The next morning, Demi arrives. What do you think of Demi being involved? That's my first question.
I was trying to piece together in my head if her and Peter had ever met somewhere where I would have seen it. Demi says she loves Peter, like they're great friends. I
find that hard to believe.
I don't know how Demi is involved in Peter's love story here. I just
want Demi.
Of course,
in the
that's
mix
what's going on.
The franchise.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
of course.
You know, just seeing what you're getting your thoughts on it.
I don't think there was any connection between Demi and Peter, but also that being said, I don't really care. I'm a Demi fan. She can show up for any episode she wants.
Interesting. I liked when later in the date she goes, "Hi, Peter," and it was like you could tell it was like that was their first time ever seeing each other. Anyway, Champagne and Killer, the two women Demi rolled up with, those are not their real names. They start assaulting the Sleeping Beauties with feather pillows. Now, it seemed to me the sun was pretty high in the sky, so I was actually okay with this. Like, get up.
Yeah.
You know? It's like 10:30.
It was very light out. I agree with you there.
You don't often see the bedrooms either, which I appreciate. They're sleeping, you know, 8 to a room bunk
beds. These aren't good sleeping situations that they have at the Bachelor Mansion. You forget that.
Anyway, Demi brought outfits for the people who were going on the group date. I didn't understand the rationale behind these outfits at all. Some of them were like fleece pajamas with patterns, full body. Others have lingerie. And it's like
bizarre.
Risque sleeping gowns. Just,
I didn't get it. No, there's no rhyme or reason behind this.
The date was a pillow fight in this bar. Now, I don't want to go on another AB rant here, but it seemed to me like there were no rule. There were no rules.
No, anything goes.
You just beat up your opponent with a pillow, and your arms and the rest of your body also is legal maneuver.
I would have, you know me, Rim. I would have preferred some more clear-cut rules here. I'm not going to go on a rant, though, because it just seems like anything went. I would have liked to understand how winners were calculated here. Did you pin your opponent? Is that what you were going for?
I think you just
have
to make him submit in any way. Just be like, stop. Once I say stop, then that's the end of the match.
It's an I quit match that you're telling me.
It's an I quit match. Quick note. Peter had his hands on Kelly's shoulders before her big matchup. Okay, just a little touch.
That's a good note.
He had his hands. And it wasn't, you know how you could do the sides of the shoulders, upper arms? You could also do the crown of the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Inner shoulders, AB.
Wow.
It was intimate touch.
Wow. Okay.
Kelly says to the cameras, who wants to see their lawyer dressed in lingerie on a TV show? You know, she's kind of like, kind of embarrassing. I'm involved in this. Kelly's whole brand is like, can't believe I'm here. Like,
yeah.
But I had to just go after Peter. It's like, well, you could have just exchange numbers when you met him in person, or maybe you did. I roll my eyes when Kelly's still real skeptical about Kelly and her whole story. She's acting like she's above The Bachelor, and it's like, you're not. You're on it. You can't be.
You are currently on it.
Yeah. No, don't come on The Bachelor and act too good for this show, okay? I will not have it. Anyway, let's go quickly through the matchups, if you don't mind. Tammy absolutely ragdolled Kelsey, so she was DQ'd for being too violent.
Little pet peeve here, Rim. Not enough names on the screens.
I still didn't know long enough.
Like, you're asking for the matchups. I didn't know some of the women on the date yet, so they'd show their pictures for the matchup, but we didn't get the name, so I could not tell you who some of these matchups were.
I had to pause it. They were only on there for half a second. Shean defeated Savannah. Alaya bested Sydney, and then Kiera blasted Sarah in the back of the head. Big KO. And Demi, for no reason, picks Alaya and Sydney for the rematch, for the championship match. There was hair pulling, body slamming, sitting on, name calling, general underhanded tactics. Of course, Alaya won. Did you have anything else on these matchups or this date?
No. I'm not sure how Tammy didn't win this whole thing with her background.
DQ'd. Oh, she got DQ'd. I think she broke somebody's collarbone. Like, she just took it too far, and they're like, all right, Tammy, you know, enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything to say about this today. I have no clue how anything was chosen. So how can I have... I don't have any idea if who won, the rightful person won this day. I don't know.
We didn't learn anything about anybody. The big takeaway is literally Peter touched Kelly's shoulders. That was my big takeaway. Group date, nighttime. I suppose in the daytime, Sydney positioned Alaya as
the villain.
Pretty princess who doesn't, but she's like, oh, she said she's probably worried about messing up her hair, like prim and proper, which that was a strange thing to me, too, because we had not been presented with that vibe of Alaya before this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think it just felt rushed.
It was very rushed.
This entire storyline seemed rushed. We had no background until they went back to the house and she was sitting there with the hat on. That's the first time we got any glimpse of Alaya being any sort of villain. And all of a sudden, she's the biggest villain on the entire season. And we're supposed to just go along with this? That's the problem I had with this episode. I just didn't have enough backstory here to believe all these people hated her.
You know, it wouldn't have taken much in the first couple episodes. Just put in a couple clips where Alaya doesn't look so great. And then
you drop the breadcrumbs that we can follow. You drop
it's called the buildup. You know, this was like when somebody gets hurt in the week before a pay-per-view, WWE, and they got to have like Randy Orton start a feud on Monday Night Raw before Sunday's big match. And it's like, that doesn't feel like a real feud. No. I'm not buying it. Anyway.
I'd like to point out, Rim, Peter with after Leia one big kiss in front of everyone. That's becoming kind of a thing with Peter on group dates. Kisses in front of everyone. He needs to be careful.
I will refrain from making a critical comment in this moment.
Okay.
That's almost better than making the comment, in my opinion. But people are going, ooh, what's Rim thinking? Maybe we'll find out. Group date, nighttime. The Leia and Sydney conflict. That's the one to watch here, AB. Okay? Keep your eyes out for these two. Sydney says Leia puts on a show for the cameras. It's all orchestrated. It's all a racket. What did you make of Leia's one-on-one time with Peter?
Peter seems to be really into this, Rim. He tells Leia he has a really good feeling about her. Again, she was one of my favorites, so I walked away thinking, okay, this girl's got a shot here.
Really?
Yeah.
You walked away from that interaction thinking this is it?
I never bought the whole thing about her until later in the episode.
Until later in the episode. Yes. Okay.
At this point, in my notes, I'm still not sure. Team Leia. Yeah, all I see is Sydney... The Bachelor producers cut to her in the house with a hat on, and like, I'm supposed to think that she's not the one, that she's not one of the favorites anymore? I didn't see enough yet. And then she won the date.
Okay, all right. You weren't turned off by, here is Leia's big vulnerable reveal. She sounded like a Bachelor word cloud, AB. She goes, I want to be vulnerable and open up. I've been through stuff. You know, abandoned friends, relationships. So I hope you like me. That's basically it. And then Peter's like, wow, you really opened up. And I was like, well, did I miss that part about the opening up? Or
you just have to remember, Rim, everyone doesn't have a sob story to tell. And it's tough then for those
pretend.
People.
Then don't pretend.
Sure, but you have to tell a sob story. Even if you have one or don't. You have to come up with something. I don't think she has anything.
I've been abandoned by friends is a... It doesn't really set you apart.
No. So you've had friends and you've lost friends.
Yeah. Friendships change.
Every single person in America.
I have no sympathy for you. It's a frequent thing in life. That's how it goes. That's what I was said. Afterwards, Sydney and Leia have a nice, polite conversation. Sydney kind of... The nice thing about Sydney is she kind of baits Leia into admitting bad traits about herself.
Yeah, she does.
At one point, Leia says, I know how to answer a question without answering. Those things are easy for me. Which is like...
That's a red flag.
You don't want to say that. I Googled Sydney. She went to high school with Hannah Brown.
Okay, this Bachelor family web is getting entangled way too much. America is a big country, Rim. Why are we stuck on like two or three cities in high schools even? Like the Tia Raven thing, I think makes sense because Raven was a favorite. They wanted someone, the story kind of worked and it drives people think of Raven when Tia was on. Now they're bringing on people from the same,
and it's not a storyline.
Same place, and they're not using it as a storyline.
I don't know if she'll talk about it.
Exactly.
No.
They're not using that as a storyline, so why are we why can we give other cities in America a chance to get on The Bachelor? It's all the same people. What's going
on
here?
Like a politician. I also don't like that there seems to be, if you win your state as a pageant queen...
There's like
a 40% chance you're going to be on the show now. Know that you have this career path.
There's too many pageant people on right now. It's become too much. There's like three or four people on this show right now. Like, it doesn't even matter that you're a pageant queen anymore. It's happened too much. Some of the people don't even mention it anymore because it's such a non-story that they were... I mean, it's ridiculous.
It looked like you're gonna say something big. I just had it with this. I feel bad for telling that to you, but I thought it was an interesting tidbit.
That
this
is
person went to high school.
Infuriating.
With Peter's ex, and it hasn't been discussed. Now maybe it'll come up, but I don't know. Anyway, Kelly went on one time. She tells Peter to shave his beard, which offended me personally, but it was a good. That's a good way to establish a personal connection. Okay. Basically, that's a post flirty stage comment. You're basically acting like you're in a relationship already, commenting on someone's physical appearance choices. That's mid courting, if you will. Go ahead.
I agree. This annoyed me. As you know, I don't like Kelly to begin with. This annoyed me even more. She thinks she's has a bigger or a better relationship with Peter and more further along relationship with Peter than she actually does. That's not something you say. That's not something you say to someone in one of your first interactions with them. I think she still thinks she's way ahead of everyone else and can make.
She definitely thinks
she
that,
thinks
yeah.
he's his, her boyfriend and that she's a lock here. And I don't think she is.
Strongly worded. I don't know what's going on behind this. You know, the backstory with these two, I question the simplicity of it. Part of me wonders if she weren't on the show, if we would be getting on Peter for having a girlfriend back home.
See, you know what I mean? You've gone one way with this thing. You think there's more to it. I think there might be less to it than she's even there.
I like that. I like that. One of us is right. It is not what's being presented to us on the screen.
It wasn't what they said.
Tammy went on one time. Tammy's concerned, oh, Peter just thinks I'm a bro, which I'm almost certain he does, unfortunately for Tammy, but they kiss anyway. I love Tammy. I wish she had more screen time. I hope she sticks around. Anything on that?
No, you said it well. I agree. I agree with everything you say about Tammy.
Tammy, the longer she's on, the more I'm like... She's climbing the ranks of the great, funny characters, people to be around characters on the show. Sydney one-on-one time. Peter reassures her that he likes her, okay, for these reasons. Number one, her heart shines. Number two, she's opened up to him. So things are going well. I guess you could say things are going pretty well with Sydney and Peter. We're being negative this segment, but it's just, it's too easy. He's setting them up and we're knocking them down. What I liked about Sydney more than most other people who instigate conflicts on the show is she's breaking the fourth wall. She's talking about the show. She's talking about the cameras. I like when people openly discuss the effect the environment has on one another. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I like it. It feels like you're getting some inside, you know, behind the scenes information from when they talk like this, like about how people are acting when the cameras are off. I like hearing stuff like that.
Now, Sydney alludes to certain people putting on a show for the cameras, but doesn't say names to Peter.
It's one of the best moves by someone that wants to tattle on someone, but not get wrapped up in the tattling. And it's also one of the biggest, you know, ways you can really turn up the drama in the house. If you're getting a little bored with the Bachelor Mansion, just let the lead know that someone might not be here for the right reasons. You light that and let let it wait for it to explode.
She did kind of, this was later on. Go ahead.
A very vague comment about someone not being here for the right reasons, providing no details, no specifics, is always going to linger in a bachelor or bachelorette's head.
I mean, he went on tilt.
It rocked
this. It rocked him to his core. And she said this later, but she was like, you know, don't take my word for it. Like, you figure it out. And then he's just like, I am so lost. Yeah. So anyway, Peter decides to address these concerns with the group. Now, normally you'd kind of take back, you do your own investigating, but he saw what happened with Hannah.
He doesn't want that.
Last season, he doesn't want to pick a Jed. He then asks Sydney, hey, Sydney, you know, we just talked. Why don't you, you know, point out, you didn't tell me who you're talking about, but why don't you point out who you're talking about?
I found this very f***ed up, what Peter did.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He sat down.
It never had a shot of working. This was never going to play out like he thought.
I'm confused what he thought was going to happen here. Did he think this was going to squash everything by having her call out the person to her face in front of a large group? Did he think this was going to work?
The chances of this it's not even a conflict yet, because one person doesn't know they're involved in it. The chances of this two-person conflict being resolved on a group stage, slim and none.
I feel you feel horrible for Sydney, for one. It's like, number one, I told you this in confidence in a one-on-one conversation.
I didn't name names in confidence.
I didn't name names. If you wanted the names, you could have asked me one-on-one, like I told you.
Yep. And then taken that person aside.
She was put on blast.
Yeah.
In fact, had that been me, I wouldn't even have said the name in that group situation. I would have walked out. No, you know what, Peter? That's fucked up. You're not the guy for me.
Yeah, left the show.
That was very messed up. And then also, the other way, Alea blindsided. She has no idea. She's...
Ooh. Actual blindsided.
That was blindsided.
Yeah, I have a blindsided joke later in the episode.
The word gets tossed around freely on this season, but... Or on this series, but Alea was truly blindsided. I don't think she knew anything about this conflict that she was having in the house with all these other girls. And it's brought up in a group setting in front of The Bachelor. How do you even react to that?
Well, because Sydney, so Peter asked Sydney, he's like, the way Peter said it also made what Sydney said in private seem a lot worse than it was. Yeah. Sydney was just like, hey man, some people out there are tripping with these cameras. And he's like, and he goes, Sydney, why don't you say what you said to me about these awful women around us right now? Point them out. Power rank how terrible each one of them are. And Sydney's like, bro, I just was like making a comment. And then Sydney, you know, panics and says, well, Alea, like, kind of...
She doesn't even say something terrible about Alea. It's really
she puts on a little bit is what she says. Like, yeah, she puts on for the cameras.
It's
a
very muted comment.
And then Sydney's response, or Alea's response, excuse me, was, all right, well, if that's what you think, anybody else want to pipe up? Real intimidating. Like Velda Plender, like, any of you other red feathers got something to say to me?
Say
obviously
to my
no
face.
One's gonna say anything.
No.
You stay completely out of that. You're like, I want no part of this.
No,
obviously
thank
they
you.
All probably agree with her.
No thank you.
Sydney. And then Peter walks away. He's cause he just can't handle it.
Do you think this could have been a move by Peter to try to avoid any of this the rest of the season?
No.
In this type
not
of drama?
That, he's not doing 40 chess here.
Part
AP.
Of me was thinking like Peter's kind of squashed tattling the rest of the season because you don't want to tattle and then have to say it in front of everybody. That type of conflict.
Is tattling squashed if in the end you win? We'll see.
I don't know.
I don't think he's thinking like that. I just think he's probably never tried to solve a conflict.
I think he thought like, let me just take this on head on. But he didn't realize, like, actually, you're really putting these two girls in bad situations. And nobody's to benefit by doing it like this.
Peter walks away. Sydney and Alea basically agree that Alea puts on for the cameras. Okay? Alea's like, yeah, I didn't deny that. Like, I do that. But that's just who I am. Everyone's having a bad time. So Alea strolls over to Peter. Before you know it, Alea's crying to Peter. Peter's very confused. Who should he believe? Okay. On the one hand, he believes Sydney. On the other hand, Alea is hot and he likes her. So it's a tough decision for Pete here because
tough.
He says flat out, I believe Sydney. And if you believe person A, whose story is radically different than person B, there's really no decision to be made. Your decision is...
It's over. Yeah, it's over. Here's my question for you, Rim. Is there something actually wrong with kind of perking up for the cameras a little bit? It seems like something I would do. Like, I feel like I would act different if there were cameras around or if there weren't. Wouldn't you? We don't normally talk like the way we talk when we're being recorded.
I'll put it that way. It's just you put on a
I don't
little
know,
bit.
You put
you know
on.
What I mean?
What's the problem?
You put on
are you telling me some of these
the
other... You're telling me all the girls aren't acting different when they see a camera walk into a room? I guess I am having a hard time believing that. Obviously, some will be more so, and maybe she took it to another level, but...
I think that's what it is. She takes it to another level, and I think she's probably... I don't know. I guess I don't know how to describe it. Obviously, you act a little different when there's a camera in your face, but I think Sydney and others are implying that she acts like who she's not in front of the cameras, which I think
would be... entirely fake. Yeah.
Yeah. Back with the group, Peter gives Sydney the rose. So you think, okay, he's siding with Sydney.
It's
in
over.
This. It's over. Leia's no longer a consideration. It's looking bad.
I would have thought Leia should have left that night. When Sydney got the rose, why would she stick around? He chose sides. He believes Sydney. Save face and get out of there.
Would you say the same thing if he gave the rose to Leia?
Absolutely. Yes. Whoever gets the rose there, the other person
wins.
Needs to go. Yeah.
Are you saying be sent home or choose to leave?
No, they
on
should
their own?
They should get up and leave. They should choose to leave.
I'll say this about Sydney. I think if Leia would have gotten the rose, I think Sydney would have left, because I think Sydney is probably the only person who I can say with 100% confidence is here for the right reasons, AB. She just, the way she's just going about, I think the way she went about this conflict, I know you were pro-Leia before the episode, so you're finding this hard to believe, but she didn't name names to Peter until she was pressed on a stage. It just bothers her that, I don't know, I think Leia was genuine in her concern. And I think, I don't feel as strongly about this as when I first started talking about it.
No, I kind of agree with you, because even later, Peter and Sydney sit down to talk, and Sydney's like, yeah, let me double down on this shit. The way I talked earlier and said that about her, I still agree. She didn't back down. I'm with you. Sydney seems real.
That's a more succinct way of putting what I was trying to say. Anyway, the next day, Leia, okay, she felt blindsided by Sydney. How could someone think she was fake, AB? She felt blindsided. She's worried Peter will doubt her sincerity now, and she feels blindsided. So, Leia, blindsided. Okay?
Blindsided, I agree.
I was laughing. It was funnier when I was writing it. Anyway, Chris arrives and he announces that the pool party is going to replace the cocktail party for the day, which I love. I always
one
love
of the best,
this.
One of the best episodes of the year.
Peter strolls in a hoodie. That's when I knew the pool party was going to stink. Okay. If you're the host of a pool party and you dress like it's a cold, I don't care if it's cold. If you dress like it's a cold fall day, it's just not going to be a fun. You have to show up in your pool attire only.
Tank tops minimum. You can wear a top.
Maximum,
that you're not going to wear, but it better be a tank top.
If you have sleeves.
Yeah. You don't wear sleeves to a pool party. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. This isn't a shared hotel pool. This is the Bachelor Mansion. Be ready to party. Of course, Peter's still in a dour mood.
He's buzzkill. He kills the mood right from the jump.
He
gives
the
speech and
he
literally kills the buzz of the entire mansion and everyone watching at home. You said, I knew, okay, this is going to suck. This pool party's going to suck because of Peter.
I think this conflict deserved a full episode of attention, okay? I think you need to play this out on television, this conflict, like they did. It was most of the episode. They really drew it out. I'm fine with that. I think it was wildly overblown in its seriousness. There's 20-some people left, and Peter's like, I just can't go on if one of you turns it on for the cameras. One. It's not like he's choosing between three people, and one might be like a total bomb that blows up in his face. It's like, one person maybe isn't who you're thinking, and that's no big deal, in my opinion.
I feel like the leads aren't looking at it realistically anymore. There's a lot of people here for the wrong reasons. Now, you can't get so broken up about that.
Yeah.
Here's a little spoiler for you, Pete. She's not the only one here for the wrong reasons. There's probably 10 other people here not interested in you at this point. Now, it's your job to figure out who those people are. And it's way too early. Like, I can understand if there's three people left and one of them's like, oh, this girl is here for the wrong reasons. She's all about the camera and all this other stuff. That'd be one thing. But when there's 20 people left, there's a lot of people here that aren't that into you, Pete, right now. They're here for the wrong reasons. So don't ruin the pool party vibes because of this. It doesn't seem realistic to me that he would be this concerned at this stage. The feelings aren't real enough for them all to be there for the right reasons. You haven't dated. He has gone on no dates with her. Who cares if she's there for the wrong reasons? Send her home and let's get the pool party popping.
Fabulous. Fabulous sentiments, AB. I agree completely. he's acting like he can't continue as the Bachelor.
Yeah, it's there's 20 people.
Patently absurd. Yeah. It's like, you have some great options. There's a lot of them. At the very least, you have Victoria P., who's at the worst, a great person. Okay, you're fine. Anyway, let's go over to the, I call them the pool. It wasn't a pool party. These were more like pool performance reviews.
Step into my individual office.
Yeah, grilling each person about what they know. Peter pulls Sydney aside first. Sydney wants Pete to really look at these people, figure out for himself what their motivations are. She's like, hey, Pete, don't just take the gloss. Like, it was better advice than Chris Harrison usually gives to the lead, frankly.
Pete pulls her aside to apologize also. Hey, sorry about, you know, putting you on blast back there. That was really messed up of me.
And Sydney, in her infinite class, says, it's fine. You know,
it's all
I get
good.
It. Yeah. Kelsey, do I think she acts a certain way in front of the cameras? Yes.
No, it starts with, I love Alea, but do I think she's fake as hell?
Classic Kelsey fashion.
Do I think she's fake as hell? Yes, I do, in fact.
Listen, Alea, my girl, number one, but is she not for you and awful? Yes. Stay away. That was a reenactment. Natasha, Sydney was not wrong. So that's two.
That's two.
Lexi. Maybe it's just her backgrounds and pageants, but she turns it on for the cameras. And then the devastating, I've never been drawn to her as a person, which is like impossible to be around.
They're all throwing big shots at Alea, but trying to also stay out of it a little bit. And so they'll end what they're saying with something devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, then they show Alea talking to someone normally, and then someone comes up behind her, and she sees that person, and she goes, I can't even do it. I can't even reach this octave of what this high was. But she goes, hi, you know, in response to them, which is, that's a common thing people do, I suppose.
It was just masterfully.
It was so exaggerated that it was hard not to burst out laughing.
Well, it was also masterfully cut by the producers. It was immediately after someone said, and she uses a fake voice, and then they cut to her doing that. It was very good.
Yeah. And Lexi tells Peter, you're not getting a genuine person. And that's the core of, it's not about changing your behavior for the cameras. It's about being a different person than who you actually are for the cameras.
The thing that he needs to be worried about, that all of them are trying to explain to him, is that I don't think you're going to ever really see who this is. While there's camera, because you're going to be always seeing her when there's cameras around. I don't think you're ever going to actually see Alea
until it's too late.
Until it's too late. So you got to get rid of her.
Meanwhile, Alea is confiding in Hannah Ann, also a pageant person, I believe.
Yeah, she is.
And McKenna. She is who she is. She's real, AB. Alea's real, and she's not going to apologize for being real. That's the thing. Okay, this is who I am. And I'm not sorry.
This is who I am. Do I fake some stuff? Yeah, but that's me.
That's me.
I'm gonna own it.
Alea pulls Sydney aside. Finally, these two are gonna squash it.
Let's squash it.
My takeaway here is this was a big back and forth. It seemed to me that these are just two people who are who they are. And am I gonna apologize for that? No. That was both of their stances. Did you have anything on this, AB?
No, it just seemed like a classic Bachelor argument. The one who's getting attacked feels like the other one doesn't know who they are. You don't know anything about me. The other person, the attacker, thinks they do know her and that they're being fake. It's just your classic argument. Nothing to see here.
Well, something to see. The whole episode was about these two. I thought it was something to
with
see.
With this particular conversation, there was nothing to see here. There was going to be nothing gained from either of them.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's something to see.
Wow.
Sidebar. Peter and Madison.
Holy cut to their nose to nose. Peter and Maddie are sitting. They go through.
A little George Michael.
They're going through all these women who are ratting out Alea. And then you, out of nowhere, cut to Maddie and Peter talking about nothing. To do with
arms
the rest
pretzeled,
of the rest
legs
of the,
pretzeled,
the rest of the conversations,
forehead to forehead, AB,
nose to nose. They're close, as close as you can get to kissing without kissing.
Yes. Did they not kiss? I don't have a note here that they kiss. Oh, interesting.
I'm not sure.
One thing Peter said that I thought was just pretty Peter. He goes, "Have you been replaying that night over and over in your head?" He's talking about the date with his parents. I don't know. Probably not. Peter, it wasn't that awesome. It was just an okay date. That said, nothing changed. This was all Madison was on the episode. And nothing changed. I mean, she is the top dog. They just interact differently. Peter pulls Alea aside and he asks her straight up, like, do you get why people would perceive you this way? What did you make of her answer?
Seemed two-faced to me, Rim.
Seemed pageanty.
Yeah.
Quickly changed the subject. Mm-hmm. Almost.
She knows how to handle tough questions. You heard her earlier in the episode, and she turned this around on Peter, and it worked because it somehow ends
friggin' worked.
With Peter believing she didn't say anything that should that should have alleviated his concerns. But for
some
reason,
she didn't deny any accusations.
No.
Even. She was just like, I like the way you're looking at me. And
that's how you
like,
do it. Yeah. If you don't have a good answer, like obviously in pageants, they're going to ask you some stuff. You, when they're doing those questions, they're going to ask you some stuff you may not have as good of information about. You got to find your way through that question, period.
It's the old Miss South Carolina. Like 10 years ago or
yeah,
so, they asked
spouting,
her about somewhere.
Just yeah.
A bunch
you
of words.
Talk.
And it was like, yeah.
Sometimes you just talk.
Okay? Peter says, I believe you. I promise. Okay? I believe you. I promise.
Peter's always sticking his foot in his mouth. Always. Saying just stuff that he's going to have to go back on in the very near future.
He does say, you know, seems like a nice guy. He says things that I go like,
shouldn't have said
that.
That
didn't need to be said right there.
Exactly.
You
didn't need to say it.
I don't think you even believe it. But anyway, so when those words come out of his mouth, I go, okay, it's over. This situation is done. Peter is reassured. He believes Alea. The opinions of Sydney, Kelsey, Natasha, Lexi et al. Completely overruled because Alea's presentation was effective. So Alea celebrates her victory, which she should. It's over. She has nothing to worry about.
We've seen this situation crop up tons of times where there's one contestant versus the rest of the house. And we're like, why is he believing the one person over the 10 people? And that's what it looked like. It happened with Luke. With Hannah, yep. You know, everyone in the house is telling her one thing, but she still keeps him up and going until hometowns, even though it'd been like 5 weeks. It seemed like this was the start of that. Everyone was going to be hating on Alea for multiple weeks, and he was just going to not believe them.
You brought up Luke and Hannah. You're right. But at the same time, we were never shown Alea to be a front runner or even like a top handful of people. So when the lead believes the one person they like over the opinions of the majority who sees that person when the lead's not around, you think, oh, but it's because they're blinded by how much they like this person. Hannah just blinded by how much she sees this life with Luke. But Peter and Alea, like you said, haven't even been on a date yet. I just never bought that Peter liked her so much that he couldn't see her for what they were saying she was. I was just kind of like, dude, Peter, cut bait. You got other great options here. That's the thing. Anyway, so then, okay, Peter just confirm to Alea that she's in the clear.
You're good. You're getting a rose.
Basically.
You're getting a rose tonight.
I believe you. Is what he said.
Then they kissed. They kiss.
He talked to a bunch of people. He said, I take your side. I believe you.
I conducted all my interviews. I talked to all the key witnesses.
The investigation is complete.
Investigation complete.
You're innocent. You're absolutely innocent. So then Peter talks with Victoria P., who we did not know.
This is the star witness.
The star witness
he just forgot about. He didn't get a chance to talk to her. She finally shows up in the courtroom.
Unbelievable. Victoria P. Nobody thought she would come in here, and she did. The great, wholesome, some would say infallible on a witness stand, Victoria P. Truth teller. She's not going to lie here, AB.
Absolutely not.
Victoria P.
No.
So despite just telling Alea it's all good, he's like, Victoria P., listen, I'm still in the middle of this investigation. He said, your opinion is something I take in the highest regard. You're the number one person I want to talk to about this, even though I just told Alea
it's over.
She's in the free and clear. Alea is literally like
celebrating
bottles, toasting.
To her, she did do a toast.
So here's to me, one more week at least. Clink, clink. I mean, imagine if the IRS was like, you know what? We're done auditing you. The audit is complete. And then a month later, they're like, just kidding. You have to go to jail now. It's like, you told me the audit was done. I was living my life, sleeping fine, and now I'm going to jail? Anyway, so Victoria P. reveals, to the viewers at least, that she knew Alea already through the pageant circuit. What'd you make of this conversation, AB?
She lands the knockout blow to Alea Rim. She says Alea asked her not to tell people that they knew each other. Very deceiving at the least. Okay? So this is a story from someone you believe that is confirming all your worst fears about this person. And then the cherry on top, Rim, maybe she's not the one for you. Wow.
How do you move forward with Alea?
How do you continue? This is the most trusted person in the house. And we're not saying that out of turn, Rim. Me and you, I know we
so.
Both think of Victoria as
yes.
the number one, most reliable source. Someone who stays above all the conflict. Nothing to gain here. Sweetheart. Partly, we're believing her because of her backstory, too. That plays into this.
Listen, if Mother Teresa said the same thing, I'd be like, I'm going to check around still. If Victoria P. says it... Done deal. Done deal. This is a wrap. So, that obviously, Peter's tailspin. Complete tailspin. He goes and talks to Alea again, more confused than ever. This could not have been, even with editing, it couldn't have been 10 minutes after this, after he told Alea, you're fine. 10 minutes. Obviously, there was new information. The point is, don't tell her she's fine if you're not done.
That. He didn't need to say that.
I think he just wanted to kiss, frankly.
It's just someone that doesn't want to believe the evidence. Like, he started this investigation and he doesn't want to believe the results. So I don't even know why he did this. Like, you were going to do this. You were going to believe Alea no matter what.
Yeah.
So why did he even start this?
Said, I hate to do this, Alea, especially since I just exonerated you 10 minutes ago, but I don't know anymore. Peter asks her straight up about what she said to Victoria. Did you tell Victoria
you didn't know each other when you came on the show?
Beautifully said.
Very simple.
Now, Alea, this really tests Alea's ability to answer questions without answering them. She gets hit big time with a Curb Your Enthusiasm caught in a lie moment. Okay. Now, for the record, Victoria said, I've been around Alea for probably 3 hours total on the pageant circuit. This is what Alea said. Victoria and I know each other really well outside of this environment. Okay. My biggest fear is that we'd get disqualified and I just want to be here for you.
Flip it.
The reason I lied or asked someone else to lie on my behalf is so I could be here and we could get married. I'd love you. I'm surprised she didn't say I love you to really drive it home. What did you make of this, AB?
I think it started to dawn on him, I'm going to have to get rid of this girl. I'm going to have to do what I don't want to do, which is get rid of her, because she did confirm that she did say not to know each other, which is, you know, a lie. Even if she was doing it, which her
intentions were good, I suppose.
The way she framed it, you know, I didn't think either of us could know each other, so I didn't want us to get kicked off or not be a part of the show. That seems reasonable, I suppose, but it still is a lie.
You kind of have to take, if you're the lead, accept a certain amount of gaming the system from the contestants. They all get on the show. They all probably did some underhanded, desperate tactics. This might be a step too far, roping someone into your lie. Peter seemed to be fully out on Alea.
I agree.
At that point.
Yeah.
The way he looked at her, he was like, uh-oh. I've got a lot to think about. It was a look of disgust and disappointment.
Well, she should have known if they didn't end this conversation with a kiss like he did the last time when he said she was in the clean, that she's no longer in the clean.
Well, she hits us with the... What's in the clean?
What did Clear. I say?
I said in the clean.
Let me say that again.
No, just keep it. We got so many mistakes this episode. Alea hits us with the absolutely dramatic tears, AB. Sits down. One of the great cries so far this season. Peter walks off. I think he just walked home. Just walked down the driveway. He just walks away. He just walked home. Chris announces the end of the pool party where zero people got in the pool.
This wasn't Nobody a pool party.
No music was played. No laughs were had.
No fun.
It was no fun was had. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible pool party hosted by someone who just did not live up to the duties of hosting a pool party. You can have fun and do an investigation
exactly,
at the same time.
Exactly.
Anything else on this?
No. I hope there's another pool party that makes up for this season. Really hope.
Time for the rose ceremony. Safe roses. Victoria F. had the group date rose. Seems like ages ago. Victoria P. had a good one-on-one date. And Sydney got the group date rose. We need to pause here and say this. Sydney has two group date roses, AB. Two. And yet she is not being talked about as a contender or might sneak up in the power rankings. Neither of us have mentioned that. Any reason for that, AB?
No. I can't give you a good reason. And she's, spoiler, she's still not in mine, Rim.
She's not in mine either. And I feel kind of bad, but I think the two group day roses she's gotten have been okay, you know.
They haven't been because of her doing.
No,
like
no,
this,
not really.
The group date she got this time, it was just because she ratted someone out. Like, that's not saying something about their relationship. That's just a thank you, Rose. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. You get this rose. Yeah. You get a rose if you help me out.
And the first one she got was for that date where there wasn't a daytime date, I believe. So it was just an abbreviated discussion, and she
I mean you're right though, it's too. we're three episodes in and she's gotten two grouped. She hasn't had to worry about two of the rose ceremonies. That's crazy,
you know. Maybe we should be talking about her like Patrick Mahomes, two AFC championship games in two seasons. That's pretty crazy.
It is.
Roses: Kelsey, Hannah Ann, Natasha, Lexi, Madison deep, Shean. Well,
as I've always said, the order here doesn't matter, Rim.
Kelsey, I mean, this is a random number generator, the way that these came out.
Nothing to see here.
Shean, Kelly, Kiara, Tammy, Savannah, and Deandra. There's two roses left at this point, and Peter walks out to consult with Chris Harrison. What did you make of this?
I was confused, Rim.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see happening what happened. I'll tell you that.
Are you serious?
You thought he was going to take one of the roses away?
Well, I saw the preview, but
okay then.
Yeah, I expected this fully.
You got to remember, I don't watch the previews. I had no idea what was going to be happening here.
So, it's all coming down to Alea, he says to Chris. I guess before we talk about the rose being taken away, if you're not sure about giving a rose to someone, you're on the fence about somebody, especially at this point, and you decide not to give them the rose, feel like you just give the rose to somebody else.
Give it to someone else. Yeah, that's why I was confused. I didn't see what was going to be happening with two roses.
So Peter comes back in the rose room, and Chris follows him and takes away one of the roses. Very dramatic. Made for a great preview.
Gotta tell you.
Now, McKenna hasn't gotten a rose yet, and neither has Alea. So when they take the rose away, you know, you don't take a rose away and then give the last one to Alea, no, obviously.
Absolutely not.
So McKenna gets the final rose. No roses are Alea, Sarah, Alexa, and my big sleeper and final four pick, Jasmine. Gone. Week three. Okay, tough scene for my bracket. So, I guess, were you surprised that he sent Alea? He made the decision to send Alea home. What's your takeaway from the most dramatic rose ceremony yet, some would say?
I wouldn't say that, but I was surprised because we've seen over and over again the lead makes the wrong decision. It was surprising to see him make the right decision here. It just doesn't seem... And with that being said, I don't know if it even was the right decision. If you're really that on the fence about it, why not just give her the rose? Like, this, we have a long
it's
time
not make
to go.
Or break yet.
This isn't make or break. Give her the rose. Other than I think he thought that by giving her the rose would be he'd be spitting in the face of all the people that episode that had shared their concerns about her.
Obviously, the best course of action would have been to give the rose to Jasmine. I think we can all agree that would have been the smartest thing to do. There was a couple minutes there after Alea didn't get a rose and he says goodbye to her. There was a couple minutes there where, and someone tweeted this, they were like, is Peter just going to be someone who sends home the people who are fake and dramatic? Because that would be a change from recent seasons.
Him sending her home was refreshing to me because he made the right decision. The one that you are screaming at your TV for him to make, which is usually not what they do.
It's almost never what they do. Peter doesn't even give a toast after the rose ceremony. You've hated on it, you know, you've hated on his toast last week. Not offering one at all is I think worse. I think worse. Every rose ceremony ends with a toast, even if after the worst week in the mansion you can imagine.
Give
it always ends with a toast. Yeah. He's not even excited. He's just like, all right, well, man, really liked Alea. Anyway. See you guys later. And they're like, oh, geez, what are we supposed to do with this champagne? Then Peter, post-rose ceremony, talks to the producer. He's like, I thought it was a wrong decision. Man. I want to get Alea before she leaves. And I'll put it this way, B, the previews for next week looks good. What did you make of Peter second-guessing himself?
I don't know if we've seen the last of Alea, Rim, and maybe you already know the answer to this.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
With the coming up next. But I don't know if we've seen the last of her based on this response. Even the producer's like, wait, why did you do this then? You were so broken up about it. Why didn't you just keep her? You got 20 roses, bro. You decided to take the rose away. You could have just given it to her. No big deal.
I will say this. What I'm looking forward to most next week is not Alea related.
No, that's good.
Yeah. So it's going to be good. One quick Alea line on our way out. She basically said, I'm not going to hold a grudge against Victoria. Having said that, she is the sole reason I'm going home and I'll never forgive her for this. That's basically what she said. She goes, I'll always wonder if that rose Chris took away was for me while she's crying. It's like, yeah, it definitely was for you. It wasn't for Jasmine.
Why would she take a rose away?
Jasmine's rose.
You think him taking the rose away might have something to do with the entire pool party, what that was all about?
Okay. Anyway, anything else on the episode, AB, or should we keep it moving?
No, let's keep it moving.
Well, you know, after we discuss it, I'm starting to realize maybe I didn't like the episode as much as I thought. It seemed at the time good.
I just didn't think there was
a popcorn episode.
There wasn't enough to Alea to get me fully invested. Like, I didn't know anything about her. We didn't see the fake stuff, you know? So it was hard. Like, with Luke, when he's like choke slam dude on the rugby pitch, yelling at everyone, speared him. stood over him. That stuff, that's, I saw that with my eyes. I saw him take someone out and then lie about it. He was a psycho. Okay, I saw that. With this, I didn't see anything. They tried to paint a picture, but they didn't have enough footage at that point to really paint it.
Let's move on to the mailbag, AB. Last week's question was, I don't remember the exact words, but it was the essentially, what's the appropriate amount of sexual contact the lead should have with the cast members?
Yeah, we steamed up the rose bag.
There's steam coming out when you open the bag. Or fogged up your glasses when Rim's sticking his head in the rose bag this week.
Right. I'm now realizing you don't care about the answers. You just want to do this steam bit. And it's working. It's a hilarious bit, the steam. The text line, the text number for the mailbag is 773-234-7794. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. Obviously, can't get to all of them. First, I want to acknowledge many, many people wrote in the mailbag, Instagram, all over the place, emails, wrote in to tell us that I was dead wrong about people having mics on their person. And when I rewatched the Chris Harrison interview, I realized I was mistaken in my claims. We kind of discussed it like Chris is lying, but I have an official statement here that I would like to read.
Okay.
Official statement regarding Chris Harrison's comments about microphones. Rim was mistaken. He misunderstood the exchange between Bachelor host Chris Harrison and journalist Lauren Zima. His statements, Chris Harrison's statements, applied to hot tub situations only. My sincere apologies to Chris and his family. So I mischaracterized what Chris said. Obviously, they wear mics. It's silly to think otherwise. Just wanted to get that out there. I apologize.
I'm glad you did that, Rim.
Well, you know, sometimes we get things wrong, you know, playing fast and loose with stuff. Just trying to put on a good show. Sometimes you make mistakes. Back to the question at hand, the steam bag. Emily in Illinois. As far as overnight dates, anything, a lot of these are truncated because some of these were long. As far as overnight dates, anything goes. I don't believe anyone outside the show or contestants can criticize the lead for having sex with all or multiple women. That's the nature of this show. And I believe contestants know this when they sign up. 214 area code. I think they can have sex in the fantasy suites, but just let it be with the one they are going to choose. If they don't know the final one, wait until after the show to keep down hurt feelings. Rachel with an extra A, like the Blade Runner Rachel, in 513 area code. Any and all amount. These are essentially open relationships at this point. It's an important part of relationship to explore before making what is supposed to be a lifelong commitment. I hate when they pretend it doesn't happen between contestants. Show the drama. Megan in Utah. I don't know how much sexual activity is too much, but lifting girls up on tables so they can straddle him while making out on night one? It was romantic and pretty hot when he did it maybe 7 episodes in with Hannah. But this early on with so many girls already comes off a bit like a womanizer, AB. Mm-hmm. Get a new move. That's what Megan's saying.
Wow.
808 area code. Here's one you'll like, AB.
I think I like the lead them all. Can I've be liked them all, Rim. Let me step in there.
All right, well, then you'll extra like this one, I'm going to say. I just think you'll like it. 808 area code. I think the lead can be sexual with whomever they want, but it's important to keep it quiet. Caitlin Bristow mentioned that Sean Booth was never able to move past her and Nick Viall's relationship. In parentheses, I took it as their sexual history displayed on the show, and it caused a lot of problems in their relationship. But there are fantasy suites that happen and things are implied, but nothing is confirmed. It's important to think about how the lead's final choice will feel watching the show if the lead talks about having sex with other contestants and everyone who watches or follows the show knows. I suppose that's another differentiating factor with the show is the person, you know, two of these people are going to end up together. Then you watch this TV show where they're going on and on about how much they like these other people and what they've done with them. And it's kind of like, dang, you said that to me. I thought I was special. And it's like, no, you're not. It was actually like, it was toss up between you and Nick Viall. I don't know. And then, you know, did you like that one?
I like that one. Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
801 area code. I teach middle school health, and we just had our sex ed unit. After discussing STDs, one of the comments from one of my 8th grade students was, I hope they're getting tested on The Bachelor because it looks like there's a lot of sex going on this season. I thought they'd get a laugh out of you.
No. That's real.
I guess the answer to this question is, it's whatever the other girls are willing to put up with. I couldn't put up with any of the crap going on the show, but it sure is fun to watch. Last one, Katie from Boston. There's two ways to look at this question. How much sex we want to see as a viewer, and how much sex I would have as a lead. I wouldn't be able to engage in sexual activities and turn around and propose to someone else. But as a viewer, I like to see the lead sleep with the top three and maybe one or two people during the season to stir up some drama. I think that's a good way to look at it. Katie from Boston. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. AB, first, do you have any reaction?
No, I loved all
next
those
week's question.
Loved all those responses. Rim, a lot of different.
It's interesting because you know it's such a weird, bizarre. Yeah. Only the Bachelor is like The Bachelor, so it's just hard to fit it into the square peg of normal life. So it's interesting to see what different people's opinions are. What's your opinion, and what's next week's question?
My opinion on the subject, Rim. I can go back and forth. I can see how the contestants would get upset if he's having sex with multiple people. You're supposed to be in a relationship with me. I think it's safe. It's safe to assume that your partner won't have sex with other people until after the show, or at least until the fantasy suites, because that's the assumption, I guess, with how this show works. Like, you can... Most of them have sex with multiple people in the fantasy suites. They don't before. I can understand that. But also, like a lot of them said, they're all adults. There's nothing wrong with having sex with people. So I also don't have a problem with them. I can see it go both ways. And I can understand why people would get upset about both sides.
It's the obvious thing would be to compare it to like open relationships, right?
Yeah.
But how often do people go from one of those, pick one out of the group, and then become engaged and exclusive with them, you know, in a 3-day period?
And I think,
you know what I mean?
Think,
it's like a whiplash almost. So I can understand why some people would be upset.
I think
with
a
it,
lot
yeah.
of the people aren't looking at it as an open relationship necessarily.
And
so
that causes the
if
drama.
You care about the person, you probably shouldn't have sex with anybody. If you care about all these women, you probably shouldn't have sex with anybody. Because you know that they're going to be upset about it. So if you really care about that person, I think you can not, you can abstain from sex during your season to avoid hurting them. That's, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think there's a right answer. It's tough to, you got to silo it if you're Peter
it's
and
tough.
Other leads. You got to silo all these somehow
it's
and
tough.
Figure out how to make it through. Anyway, thanks to everyone who wrote in. What's next week's question?
Oh, no, two things, Rem. I thought there's a very generic episode, so it's not the best question.
That's the word. That's the word for it. It was generic as hell.
I want to know, besides Victoria P, who's your favorite right now? Because I think it could go, can't be... I need to know, besides Victoria P, everyone knows that.
That's a ridiculous question.
Okay.
Everyone knows she's
everyone's favorite, Rim. I need to know who's your second favorite, everyone out there. Because I'm having a hard time, I don't know.
Kind of sussing that
out.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people still here. And I feel like we haven't gotten deep into any, there's been a lot of other stuff going on so far. I don't even know. Like, I like Maddie, and he likes Maddie. But who?
But what do we know about Maddie?
We don't know anything about anyone yet, except Victoria.
The number is 773-234-7794. One thing we didn't talk about with Victoria P.
What?
Next Bachelorette frontrunner. I'll say it. Obvious choice for next Bachelorette.
Well, I think we said that during the first episode when we saw her backstory. That
I
she was a Bachelorette frontrunner. I think I fully agree with you there.
She's already falling for Peter. She's not going to win.
Why?
I don't know. There's no basis for that statement. Okay. I just don't think she is. I don't know anything. Hand to God, I don't know anything. But yeah, Victoria P. Quickly, batch bracket. Pull up your batch bracket, AB. I am 342nd out of 1,400 or so. I had Jasmine in my top four. 16 people have perfect brackets through two weeks. Cheaters. Liars. I don't know. It's suspect, though. I'll say that. Yeah. 16 people have perfect brackets. Interesting.
All of those people don't have perfect brackets without cheating. It's not... I just can't believe that.
Someone, you're saying somebody in there.
At least one is a cheater in that. I don't know who it is, but at least one.
That's fine. That, in the same way that the lead should understand that some people aren't on the show for the right reasons.
Yeah, we should understand that
the commissioner of the Bracket League, I understand that there are some cheaters and liars and scoundrels in the Bracket League. That's okay. Just kidding. Thank you all for listening and for playing. We don't dislike anybody's bracket. If someone ends with a perfect bracket, though... We got a situation. AB, what did you do last night, bracket-wise?
I'm pulling it up. Just a second. No, it's taking a second.
Don't worry. Yeah, don't worry.
It's getting
there.
It's fine. Just one more click. One more click. I am number 445.
Yikes. Okay, so we're probably
one
different.
A score of 60.
As far as our frenemies challenge, I got 3 out of 9 for, correct on that app. As usual, that's becoming a routine, dreadful showing for me. I got 1 out of 9 on Below Deck. So I don't know how you people are doing well on this. I'm not. One of these weeks I'm going to win some money, but it's not yet. Okay, AB, let's go to the power rankings.
I would love to.
Did you put effort in this week?
Yes. I was embarrassed by my last week's show.
Yeah, you should have been. You know, there was a moment when we, during that discussion, I was laughing. That wasn't a we were laughing. That was a me laughing at you.
It's embarrassing. My rankings last week were embarrassing. Okay?
No, that's fine. I'm like Bobby Knight. Sometimes you got to embarrass somebody on a big stage to get the best out of them. I'll go first. Okay. Number 5, AB? Jasmine.
Okay.
All right. Kind of co-opted the... No, that's not an official ranking. Number 4. Hannah Ann dropped a second week in a row from 2
Not a lot of Hannah
to 3,
Ann, to be fair.
2-4. She wasn't on the show much. She's not coming off great in this conflict with Kelsey. Hannah Ann. And other people, I think, have made waves. She hasn't gotten a date yet. He's gotten 3 one-on-one dates and she hasn't gotten one
You're saying she's dropping partly because she just, other people are rising. So she's staying the same, but other people are rising ahead of her.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's only had 2 one-on-one dates, right? Victoria P and Madison?
I'm so mixed up on what's going on. I'm so happy that we're back to, were there two, there was a date the week before that was counted towards this rose ceremony, I think, and I don't even remember who that was anymore. You know what I'm saying?
This episode we watched,
Victoria P had a date, then there was a group date, there was another one-on-one date that was the previous week, who I don't even remember who was on that.
It was a group date. It was
they had two group dates and one one-on-one. That's what the schedule was for this one?
I believe so.
Okay.
It was
It's just too hard to follow. It's too hard to follow the way they're doing it.
You're going to get killed. We're going to get killed for not knowing this off the top of our head. It's almost as if we consume so much. We watch these episodes so much that
it's
a tornado of information and I forget things.
You got to understand, we watched each episode twice. The last episode?
Ancient history. Completely
that's
ancient history.
8 hours of Bachelor content ago.
I'm pretty sure Victoria F. got the group date rose. He gave Victoria F. the group date rose, and then he went and talked to Kelsey. It was a post-conflict discussion. It was a post-rose conflict discussion, which I found strange. And then Kelsey cried, and then this episode didn't pick up from there. It started the next day. So that'll throw you off even more. Anyway.
Let's hear the rank
number 4. Hand, number 4.
Okay. Cut all
number
of that.
Three. Number 3. Victoria F. is number 3. Still hanging around,
still
barely
there.
In this episode. Yep. That may or may not be affected by the previews. I'll say it. Saw the preview. Victoria P is number 2. Great showing from Victoria P. When you say I'd trust you more than anybody here, am I going to keep you out of the power rankings? It's not going to happen. Number 1.
It's obvious.
Stayed number 1. Obvious she was on screen with Peter for 30 seconds. It's obvious who the front runner here is, and it's still Madison. She might get a second one-on-one date before Hannah Ann gets any one-on-one date. And my sleeper, my new sleeper, now that Jasmine is gone, is Savannah. I would have picked Lexi, but that's already your sleeper. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't co-op sleepers. Everybody knows that. All right, let's get your power rankings.
Number four, Rim. Kelly. The way she talked to him about that beard, I think you might be right. There's more going on. There could be more.
That's the kind of thing that a girl says who also feels like she can grab you by the belt loop and pull you toward her. Like, that's like,
that meant
those two are together.
That, what some people might consider a throwaway comment, left a lasting impression to me.
Humongous comment.
Last week, I'm pretty sure I put Kelly in for no reason because I was unprepared. This week, I am very prepared to put Kelly in my top four, and she's number four, okay?
Yeah. Watch Kelly interacting with him next episode and see if she says something else like that.
Yeah.
If she comments on what he's wearing...
She's saying stuff that you say to your boyfriend, period.
Yeah.
Okay?
After
she's more comfortable with him than other people are. Everyone else is on edge still. Kelly's not there. She's very comfortable.
And I think they're similar age, too. She's a grown adult.
She's 27, yeah.
She is uncomfortably comfortable with him.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm. Number three.
I should have had her in, but I didn't. Stand by it. Go ahead.
Number three, Hannah Ann.
Wow, she dropped. You don't know if she dropped.
Yeah, she dropped.
She dropped.
I think she was two last week, but she's dropped. I think the same goes for me. I think the champagne gate is over, and I'm glad to see that. I think she's past all that drama, but someone else skyrocketed past her, so she dropped a spot.
Wow.
It wasn't her fault, okay?
Who was it?
Victoria P. Rim. It's obvious.
It's got to be her.
It's got to be her. The next bachelorette.
The next bachelorette, Victoria P.
She's number two on the list. It's clear.
Yeah.
Number one, same as you, Madison. My girl Maddie.
Yeah. Shout out to your sleeper. Lexi had some screen time.
She's still there. Just wait. One of these episodes, who gets the date card? Lexi. And everyone falls in love with her.
Bachelor headline of the week. Here it comes. AB's bachelor headline of the week. The soon-to-be defunct, suspended segment. I say once we get to...
You don't want me to see
a
spoiler?
Once we get to hometowns, I don't want you to do it anymore. Yeah, I don't want you to see a spoiler.
Okay.
I don't.
That's fair.
I don't.
You're looking at me so sincere.
I don't. It's executive decision. There is no more once we get to hometowns.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to still be looking, though. I found an interesting article, Rim. I'd like you to check it out. It might be a weekly deal. Okay?
Oh, okay. What are you talking about?
Hold up.
What's the article?
Hold up. I got to find it again. It's from The Takeout, Rim. Article headline.
That's a food website.
You're damn right it is, Rim.
Okay.
The food that didn't get eaten on The Bachelor, week three, a total finasco. Apparently, they do an article each week recapping the food and if it was eaten,
that's a smart
what it
article.
Was,
yeah.
If it was even food. Okay. There's some questions on if some of this stuff is even food
this
or if it's fake food.
Series.
Okay.
Wow. Big fan of this.
I would urge everyone to go find this article. Again, it's from The Takeout. The article headline, The Food That Didn't Get Eaten on The Bachelor Week 3. A total
finasco. I need
finasco.
To start including the Bachelor Headline of the Week links in the show description.
That's a good idea.
Along with a bunch of other links where you can buy merch and subscribe on different platforms and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Thank you for supporting Room and AB. That's a great headline. Pictures, detailed pictures, screenshots,
screenshots,
film type
of
stuff.
Course. Of course.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
A good article.
I like that. I like that. I'm going to bookmark that. All right. That's all I have. Social media. I just want to call this out. People who aren't following on Instagram are just missing out. Frankly, there's no other way to describe it. You just are. I've got a few good things kind of on the docket for this week. I'll tell you what they are, AB, but I'm going to bleep them out. So people, it's just going to be a long bleep. So people are like, man, what is that about? I'm going to have to follow them on Instagram. The first one is, obviously, I'm going to.
That goes without saying. That goes without saying.
That's a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Yep, that's a no-brainer. And then the next thing is, this might not do as well, but it's going to make me laugh as hard while I'm doing it, is.
Yeah.
If I can figure out how to do that, it it's goes, game yeah. over.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. You don't want to miss that one.
I mean, that's going to be hilarious. That's going to be funny. Yeah. And you can only see it if you follow on Instagram. Even though we post them everywhere else, just pretend like, come on. At Rosecast Podcast. Thank you to everyone who's been leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser and such. We appreciate it. Merch, if the easiest way to get merch is to go to rimandab.com and click the tab in the header. For those of you who follow us on Twitter, we have a new design releasing today that you may be interested in. You may be. I'm not confident it's that good, but we'll see. We'll see what people think. We'll see what people think. Do you have anything else, AB?
Nope.
Okay. One last text. This is from Damon G in Ann Arbor. Damon and his wife, loyal listeners of the show. Heard every episode.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you for listening. We want to wish you, Damon, and your wife a happy first anniversary.
Wow.
Now, clap, clap, clap. Congratulations. First, big deal, first year.
That is a big deal.
I forgot to put that in last week. So Damon's wife, don't get mad at him for being late on that. This he
Come
was not
on,
late.
Rim.
He was on time. He didn't. Damon did
Damon
not forget
did
your
not
anniversary.
Forget the anniversary.
That's on me.
That's on.
That's
Rim.
On me. When I was editing it last week, I was like, oh no, no. And now this long drawn out. Congrats on your anniversary. I've now committed myself to doing every happy birthday we get sent. So I'm in trouble for a lot of reasons. I apologize, Damon's wife. That's on me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for caring. Have a heavenly day.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.